Sukkah Perikei Mishnah Base 5-2. And now the next few Mishnahs will discuss what went on in the Beis HaMikdash during the Simchas Beis HaShaveva. The Mishnah says, B'motzi Yom Tov HaRishon Shel HaChag, on the Motzi Yom Tov, after the first day of Sukkot passed, so that first night, and this will go on, as we said before, every night of Sukkot during Chol HaMoed. In truth is, the celebrations of Simchas Beis HaShaveva begin, besides the first night, late afternoon, after the Talmud Shel Ben HaRabayim is offered. And here's what happened. Yardu le'Ezras Nashim. On that first night, they went down to the Ezras Nashim. That is to say, the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara, the main courtyard, which has the special elevated sanctity, the Kedusha, that's an area that's essentially 187 amos wide, running from east to west, and it included all the structures, the Mizbeach, the altar, and the actual sanctuary itself, the Ulam, Kodesh, Kodesh Kedushim, etc. But that's the Azara. There's another structure immediately to the east of it called the Ezras Nashim. That's 135 by 135 amos. And then actually, although it's contiguous with and like within the walls of the larger temple complex, it doesn't have the Kedusha that the Azara does. It has the same kind of Kedusha that the Har HaBayis does. In general, that's like the Machon Leviyah, parallels like the Levites' camp around the Mishkan. And it was going to be in there, in the Ezras Nashim, that the Simchas Beis HaShaveva celebrations happened. Now, it's called Ezras Nashim, not because it's only for women as opposed to men. Everyone came in that way, men and women alike. But typically, women would not go beyond the Ezras Nashim under normal circumstances, unless they had a korban to bring, whatever it is. And men, I'm going to go a few, like 11 almost deeper in, to what's called the Ezras Yisrael, the beginning of the Azara proper. In any case, since the Ezras Nashim had less Kedusha, that's what action happened on Simchas Beis HaShaveva. And the Mishnah says they went down Yardu because the elevation of the Azara proper is higher than the Ezras Nashim. So you'd have to go down 15 steps, those famous 15 steps that separate between the two Azaros. And there they went, U'misaknin sham tikun gadol. And there they repaired, literally repaired, a great repair. That is to say, originally, once upon a time, the Simchas Beis HaShaveva happened on the floor of the Ezras Nashim, and there were men and women there. But the Chazal saw that the men were looking at the women, and things were getting a little out of hand in terms of frivolity, and therefore every sukkah, at the beginning, they would build balconies around the Ezras Nashim so that women could be up on the balconies looking down and watching the men doing the various celebrations and tomfoolery that went on in the Simchas Beis HaShaveva. But the men wouldn't be looking at the women because they are sort of elevated off the ground, and that was separating them. So it's referred to here as a tikkun gadol, a great tikkun, or fixing. Like every takana, there's always unintended consequences and negative things perhaps, but this certainly remedied the issue of the kalas rosh, the necessary frivolity that happened between the men and women when the women were mixed up with the men down below, even if not. Yeah, okay. Now, u'menorah shel zav hayusham. There were these golden candelabras that were in the Ezras Nashim. In fact, there were four of them, presumably, that's how most learn. It doesn't say explicitly here. V'arba sfalim shel zahav b'roshen. And there were four bowls for oil, golden bowls, atop each of the menorahs. Now, it's brought on that these menorahs were 50 amos high. The Tiferes Yisrael says, not that the menorah itself was like had a stalk, like a pole of 50 amos. That would be unlikely. Rather, what happens is they were on sort of like on platforms, elevated platforms. And on top of these elevated platforms, there were these menorahs. And these, at the top of the menorah, if you will, where the golden bowls were, that was 50 amos off of above the ground below. Of the Ezras Nashim. V'arba sulamos l'chol echad v'echad, and there was four ladders adjutting each of the menorahs, the candelabras, so that there was a ladder leading up to each of the four bowls, in other words, on each of the candelabras. V'arba yiladim pirchei kahuna, there were to ascend and fill up the bowls to give it the oil, there would be four young pirchei kahuna, teenage kohanim. Pirchei kuna, the word porech means like a flower as a perach, because they just started to sprout their beards, so they're like teenagers, in other words. Others point out that it's a little redundant to say both they were yeladim, young, and pirchei kuna. So they explain that they're not just young, but also their acts and their persons were beautiful, like prachim, like flowers. Ubiyadeim kadim shel shemen, and they would carry the jugs of oil up to fill up the bowls on top of the menorahs. Shel mea ve'eshrim lug, and each menorah in total, meaning the combination of the four bowls together, would add up to 120 lug of oil, meaning each individual bowl contained 30 lug of oil. Since a lug is roughly half a liter, give or take, 30 lug is 15 liters, give or take, which is like 15 kilos, give or take, which is like 20, whatever, call it 30 pounds, give or take. So it's a lot of weight. And the Gemara makes a big emphasis that these kohanim are obviously very strong to climb way up in the sky, carrying these like massive jugs of oil. And she metil l'chol seifel v'seifel, that they would pour into each of the bowls. Now there's a question: if there's a total of 120 amongst the four, why don't we say each child brought up 30? Why does it say that they brought up 120 together? So the Tos Yom Tov says we want to make an allusion here to Moshe Rabbeinu, who lived 120 years, and it's his Torah which lights up our world in every generation, and therefore there's 120 reference there.